Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Huge show, live from New York. It's the show that's still waiting for Darvin Ham's prom. He saw something last year in the fourth quarter.
Seven games ago.
It was sneakily. It was, I think, nine games ago. Wilds is harder on Ham than I am.
Yeah, you know what?
He saw something.
He saw something. You guys wait to game four. It's first things first. Huge draft show. Today, Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, Chicago Bears. Is Caleb now set up to chase? His words, not mine. Immortality.
Wow.
It's gone over the top, bro. Meanwhile, the team of the century gets Baby Goat 2.0.
Oh, really?
Baby Goat 2.0.
No, you hope not.
Drake May.
Yeah, exactly. You really hope not.
The question is, who will diss Drake first, Nick Wright or Kendrick Lamar? And finally, the Bills trade with the Chiefs and Kansas City draft the fastest wide receiver in the history of the NFL. That seems like a good deal.
That's the truth.
Alongside Chris Broussard, I'm Kevin Wilds. Nick, what do you think about your draft day trade?
Chiefs kind of put me in a blender here.
Yeah, they did.
I trust the Chiefs. I like speed. What do I believe, Wilds?
Well, you think football should be played by large
people. By big people. They took the smallest player ever. We'll discuss.
He's so fast.
He is so fast.
He makes you look like Micah Parsons.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's thank you, bro. I have been hitting the Peloton quite hard lately. I appreciate that. Thank you.
We start with Michael Penix. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play, or in your case, ride on the bench like every day for a few years, I guess, behind Kirk Cousins, who signed a four-year, $180 million deal. Brew, that was 44 days ago. Yes. They're already planning for the future. Here's Falcons GM and coach Raheem Morris.
Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. And Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future.
Raheem, whichever one of you called Kirk, when you were on the clock and you tell me about it, what's his reaction?
Well, that's a private. We wouldn't share that, you know. And obviously we...
Reactions are pretty private, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got called on the clock, obviously, because it's a sensitive time with the issues of what you got going on. It's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things, and reactions are always going to be private when it comes to those things.
So not good. Your reaction.
Kevin Clark, who's, I think, one of the best people covering the league, has said for years, one of his favorite NFL truisms is, not every team is actually trying to win the Super Bowl. And that was my takeaway from this.
Really?
The Falcons are not trying to win the Super Bowl. They're trying to avoid being awful. Mm-hmm. And this is the ultimate hedge against bottoming out. If you're trying to win the Super Bowl, going into this offseason as Atlanta, you have path one, sign Kirk Cousins. Maybe borrow a bit from the future. Certainly use your top 10 draft pick on an instant impact, what you hope is an instant impact player. And as the draft, a lot of us projected that at 8, you would have your pick of any defensive player. Yeah. That's how I had in every mock draft. That's how it fell also. That's a path. Another path is, you know what? We love Michael Penix. And we know he's a rookie, but luckily, he's the age of most guys who are on their second contract. He has the experience of that. So we are going to go the way a lot of teams have gone, which is young quarterback, save that $100 million, and bolster the team that way. Instead, they went path three. Mm. The ultimate hedge against either decision being a disaster, the ultimate hedge against ever having to deal with a Desmond Ridder situation again, which is fine if your goal is win a bad division, maybe win a playoff game, and stay in the mix. Mm-hmm. And so, listen, I think there are pros and cons to Penix, the prospect that we can get into, and there's pros and cons to Kirk Cousins, the quarterback that we can get into. But there is no argument to be made that 48 days ago, when you knew your cap space, you knew the free agency situation, all the quarterbacks were done playing games and you knew where you were drafting, that there is a coherent thought process of we are going to be the biggest spenders in quarterback free agency and take the biggest leap in the quarterback draft. Those are in contradiction. And so, yeah, I mean, it was shocking, Brew, because what the Falcons told me is they value not being awful more than they value a chance of being great.
Yeah.
Which, if I'm a Falcons fan, is a bummer.
I wasn't shocked. I was flummoxed. Dumbfounded. What? Like you said, you should have known. You should have known 48 days ago, 44 yeah. days ago, that you loved Michael Penix. I get it that, you know, you still had some process to go through.
Yeah.
But still, you could have, he's 24.
And
he will be in a couple
weeks. By the way,
they
didn't bring him in. He wasn't one of the 30 prospects they brought in. So they don't even have the argument of, we didn't know we'd love him, but then he came in our building. It was great. So it was all from tape. It was from what they watched.
I thought they didn't fly there?
What?
I thought
saw him, but I'm saying they brought in 30 prospects to their building. Yeah. He wasn't one of them. But go ahead.
And that doesn't help him out in the public relations.
Yeah.
But if it's all on tape, you got your scout team, your college guys that scout, and they should have been looking at this guy. Hey, we love this guy. This is our opportunity.
Yep.
He's going to be there at 8. This is our opportunity to have a quarterback. He's 24, so he's older than most college quarterbacks, and he's ready to play now, and he won't be making any money.
Yeah.
We can build up our team. And look, what obviously they didn't do that, and they tried to be the Green Bay Packers. Here's my thing that's different. Yep. When the Packers drafted Jordan Love, they were a 13-win team, right? They had, obviously Aaron Rodgers was balling out, and he was older, okay? But they didn't have as many holes, right? They had Devontae Adams. They had Aaron Jones. They had, you know, MVS. They didn't have the holes that the Falcons have.
Mm-hmm. Also, so a pick in the mid-20s is different than a pick at 8.
At 8. That's very true. You could have traded down and got Penix later, probably. I mean, the way things were looking, maybe he would have gone sooner than we thought.
And Jordan Love's 25 going into year 5. So him sitting and waiting makes more sense than 24.
Ideally, you would hope it goes well with Cousins, and he's there at least 3 years balling out. Let's just say, maybe it'll be 2, but let's say it goes well, and it's 3 years. He gets you right close to Super Bowl contention, and then you bring in Penix, and he's going to be – does he really want to sit for 3 years at 24 years old? I'd be ticked off if I was him.
People today and last night were like, oh, man, this sucks for Kirk Cousins. And with respect to Kirk, who seems like a great dude, I don't feel badly for Kirk at all. No, when you decide – I am going to be a football mercenary, essentially.
Yeah.
I am going to prioritize the business side of football in such a great way that as he has to be one of the highest paid players ever. Well, sometimes the business side of football comes and gets you.
Sure.
Sometimes when you leave when you go to a team that has no emotional connection to you, this might happen. The guy I feel terribly for is Michael Penix.
Right.
Michael Penix, who right now their plan is, their hope is, that he doesn't see the field until he's 26, 27 years old. And let me add one other thing, Wilds. The other, Brew's point one of the best things, we were talking in your office yesterday, like, who's the worst quarterback who'd still be good if you got to pay him what you pay a draft pick?
Yeah.
Basically, that would add value. You know what I mean? Like, if you could take Daniel Jones, but pay him what the 10th pick gets, does that help you? So much of the value of drafting a quarterback is the savings. Even
he's
if they're
close to making ready to make real money.
Well, and for the next 2 years, they'll have no savings because they're paying Kirk. And this is how I also know the Falcons didn't plan to do this 6 weeks ago. Because if they would have structured Kirk's contract where instead of a big signing bonus, it was guaranteed salaries, yeah. Yeah. Then he's really tradable. Right? Like next year, if you could, if it's like, oh, it's like Alex Smith and Mahomes. They trade Alex Smith. Right. But if you trade Kirk in a year, you have a $40 million cap hit because of the signing bonus.
So basically,
he's
there at least 2 years.
Or even if they do trade him, you don't have any of that savings. It's just how I know this wasn't the plan 6 weeks ago.
Chris Sims had a good tweet, Brew. I want your take on it. I didn't get it, but he was writing, Cousins is going to be rehabbing from a torn Achilles. Michael Penix is going to be throwing missiles at practice every day, and everyone's going to notice. Do you think this could possibly flip? And all of a sudden, a little quarterback controversy like we're going to see in Jacksonville.
Well, I'm like Nick.
You make good points, and then you undercut them. Go ahead.
First of all, there will be contra. If Kirk Cousins doesn't come out and play great, like, right away or by week four, whatever, there will be calls for Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Well, all right? So that's number one. Secondly, though, like Nick said, I mean, yeah, I'm sure if they would love Penix to look great in practice. The problem is, because then you could say, well, we could trade Kirk and maybe get some play. But like he said, you don't get the value on your cap.
And so people bring up, you know, Russell Wilson did it to Matt Flynn, right?
Yeah.
But Matt Flynn's contract was not it was a 3-year deal, but it wasn't a multi-year commitment as far as the first 2 years fully guaranteed. It wasn't at this level of salary.
Right.
And there wasn't also as much buzz around Russell Wilson. When they took Russell Wilson in the third round, nobody in the moment was like, oh man, quarterback of the future. He went out and proved it and won that. I really firmly believe that there is, and I don't want to, I feel badly here because I don't know the man, but this is just the way Terry Fontenot operated. To me, it is the way one would operate if they are putting their job security ahead of what's best for for the franchise.
What would make you think that?
But here's the thing.
Chasing away Bill Belichick?
Well, there's that part too. I forgot
about
that.
But here's the thing
about that. Well, I didn't. It wasn't thinking.
We also know this. I like Michael Penix. He looked fine at Washington. There's no guarantee he's going to be that guy.
No, of course. Job security.
No, they might think so, but there is no.
Even if he's not, you buy yourself time by him just being on the bench and not playing. Like, you know what I mean?
You got a couple years.
Yes.
But if in 2 years, it's a Trey Lance situation. I'm not saying he plays real
games. By the way, he is.
But in practice, he doesn't look good. Now.
He's going to look good in practice.
Okay. Also, for the record, Trey Lance and Michael Penix, one day apart as far as how old they are. And Trey Lance going into year four. And so, like, that's the other piece of it is I just feel terribly for Penix. I really do.
Go out and win the job. That job is winnable.
I don't think it is winnable right now.
Yeah.
I don't.
Kirk Cousins on one Achilles? Because Kirk Cousins on one Achilles and you throw a beautiful ball.
What about the money?
I understand. Listen, I know Chris Sims sent a good tweet.
It was a great tweet.
It's not enough to make me believe.
Schrager backed it up and he won the draft.
Oh, Schrager did win the draft.
I told you he's an oracle. Schrager's got something weird going on.
Yeah, it's called he talks to everyone.
No,
he's. Schrager won the draft.
Oracle.
But you know what? I'm a big fan of silver medals. In my GOAT conversation, okay. Everything. I'll take the silver.
You do like
silver. I'll take the silver.
The defending back to back.
The MVP vote in 2010.
Super Bowl champions.
No, Brew, you can't do the voice too. You're on my side.
Traded with the Bills and drafted Xavier Worthy at 28. Fastest timed receiver ever at the combine. Here's Brett Veach.
It's a quarterback leading. It's a speed game, and you know the more speed you have on the field, the harder it is for defenses to take away different elements of the game. And you know, anytime you can add speed and add a guy with that type of versatility, I think you know you're going to be interested.
Watch out, and Hollywood Brown. Nick, do you love this?
Well, what do they call me,
Mr. Consistency?
I have a consistency conflict.
Oh no!
Yeah, you do.
My long-standing controversial belief that football is not for tiny people. I understand people think I'm mean, and it's a hot take, but the idea that guys who wear extra slim suits are probably not going to be so that is just a general belief. That is in conflict with my long-standing belief of any time the Kansas City Chiefs can trade with the Buffalo Bills on the draft day, you got to do it. It led to the Babe Ruth trade of the NFL, which, you know, I like to remind people what it was, because it was, you know, that's how we got Patrick Mahomes, was the trade with Buffalo on draft day. A couple years later, the Chiefs jumped right ahead of Buffalo to get Trent McDuffie. That, of course, worked out. And now you're trading with Buffalo again to get this guy. So when those two are in conflict, what do I go to? I go to tiebreakers. Mm. What is Andy Reid saying? So Andy Reid said, you know what he reminds me of? DeSean Jackson. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I'll buy that.
That's interesting. And so I want to show you, Brew, a couple hilarious graphics, which is there's this raw athleticism score test. 10 is perfect. 0 is non-existent. Here's Xavier Worthy's, which is what you need to know is this. He has basically a perfect score on everything, and then weight, he has 0.3 because he weighs 165 pounds. So at first blush, you're like, okay, that again, how does that look compared to DeSean Jackson? Can I see that, please? Oh, my goodness. They're the same weight. He's a little taller. Andy's more athletic. How did DeSean look with Andy Reid? Okay.
Good.
So, short version is this, Brew. Biggest winner of this is Isaiah Pacheco, because you're going to have lighter boxes because, you know what I mean? If you can't catch him, you got to be over the top. And it is not the pick that I thought they were going to make. It's not the pick I would have made because of my allergy to tiny players, but I trust the Chiefs, and if you can trade with the Bills, you trade with the Bills, so I like
it. How about that?
Look, I said yesterday you got a Ferrari and you're treating him like a Toyota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're
now you are finally treating him once again like a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And look, as much as it's going to pain me, I don't want to see any more banners, confetti, love Kansas City, but I don't know that I want to go there next year in February again.
Okay, all right.
But I'm going to have to deal with all this from Nick, because I love it. I love it. I mean, you mentioned DeSean Jackson. How about DeVonta Smith?
Yep.
He's small, too.
Correct. Same
He's
size.
Great. And as good as DeSean was, and Michael Vick that year in Philly and all that, he had Patrick Mahomes throwing him the football. Mahomes is going to make this dude a superstar.
Well,
I really believe that.
Patrick's,
and as you
quite
said,
excited.
It's going to open everybody up, everything up for Pacheco, for the receivers underneath, for Travis. Like, it's going, this is a great pick.
Also on the board, he just can't get open.
Well, except
it's got to be that Xavier Worthy can't?
Yeah, I'm just saying, it just gets a little bit whoop, and that, like,
well,
really
throws them off. Well, he's had to get off press coverage, of course.
Just
but he runs, when you run a 4-2, you can get open.
And, you know, so here's the thing. That's not my concern.
Okay.
Because he didn't play small college football. He played big-time college football.
Right.
And unlike other speedsters like John Ross or others, he was highly productive every year. The only year he wasn't was when he broke his hand, which a hand injury, I don't think it's because you're skinny. My concern is not that he's not going to be able to get open. I think he'll be highly productive. Similar, when people were talking about him first, I brought up Tank Dell. Tank Dell was unbelievable, and then he got hurt. My concern is not that, and it's not that Tank Dell won't be good again, but I think he'll be highly productive when he's on the field. It also, the Chiefs now will be starting three sub-4-4 guys. Pacheco's a 4.37, Hollywood's a 4.27, and this guy's the fastest guy ever. But the other piece of this is, and credit to them for knowing when you're beat, this is also the Bills waving the white flag on the rivalry. So, Dusty, drop the banner. I know Bruce said he's sick of them, but please, it'll drop at some point. I promise you guys. I believe the banner.
Come on, Dusty, you can do it.
Maybe it won't. If not, I'll just drive it.
Dusty, you got it. Come on, Dusty.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, that seems sad.
Rest in peace. The Bills-Chiefs rivalry.
Took a dark
co-signed
turn.
That.
It actually is true.
No, because if the Bills thought they were still – the Bills understood and understand, got to take a step back, got to reorganize, got to recalibrate. So they're not competing with the Chiefs.
Okay. Not with the Chiefs.
So, no.
I'm sure they still think they can make the playoffs.
Sure.
And they can't. That division.
But if they thought they were competing with the Chiefs for a Super Bowl, they don't trade with the Chiefs to let the Chiefs move up and get their guy.
The only sports show with a gravestone prominently displayed.
Well, it's all right.
Pass me. Finally, the team of the century grabs Drake May at 3 to replace, and if you're holding a drink, pour it on your carpet, Mac Jones. Belichick was on with McAfee and had this read. Drake compares himself a lot to Josh Allen. We'll see about that. I think there are some comparisons with the size and athleticism. But Josh Allen is a pretty special player.
Sure.
Brew, do you think I should be happy? Because I am.
You were going to be happy no matter who it was.
That's a
you,
fair. Not if it was J.J. McCarthy.
I mean,
you really would. You would.
Wilds, you said to America, I'll fall in line.
Exactly. I would have fallen in line, but I wouldn't have been happy. I would have fallen in line. But now I'm happy.
I do think you should be happy.
Thank you.
Look, I got my doubts about Drake May, but one, he does have upside.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. Like, I don't think he's ready right now. You can put sitting behind Jacoby Brissett for a season or, you know, he can play the last few games.
Yeah.
I think more than that. I think in the teens.
Teens?
Yeah. I think I want to see him the last few games.
10 games? After the bye. We'll see where the bye is. You know what? We'll see where the bye is.
But the bottom line is Jacoby Brissett is a smart quarterback. He can learn from him.
Yep.
Hopefully, for next season, they start to build, give him some weapons.
That's
right? You got time for that. And he can learn. So, the bottom line is he's got more potential than the Mac Jones.
Listen, so he actually
we'll see
has.
If he can reach his upside.
To me, he's kind of the opposite as a prospect of Mac.
Yeah.
Now, Mac, I thought was high floor, low ceiling. It turns out he was low floor, low ceiling. I mean, no, that's what it turned out.
Unfortunately,
that's what I'm saying.
Let's hope they don't screw around and give special teams coaches.
Thank you.
Drake May has more variance to me than any of these quarterback prospects. You know what I mean? In that it's on the board that he is Mitch Trubisky.
Sure.
But it's also on the board that he is, you know, a lesser Josh Allen. Well, I would say a lesser version of Josh Allen.
I'd say 2.0.
I do. I have two concerns here, Brew. One is, whenever people say, use the Josh Allen comp, it feels a lot to me, to mix metaphors, when NBA people are talking, they're like, trying to be the 04 Pistons. I'm like, okay, yes, it did happen, but it's not really duplicable.
It doesn't happen often.
Like, a guy improving his accuracy, improving his the reason Josh Allen is such a unique story is because we'd never seen a guy go from that in college to that. Now, Drake was better than Josh in college in a bigger program. But the other part of it is just the history of any quarterback that isn't the first or second quarterback taken in a draft. So I'll give it to you real quick, just very quickly here. And this applies to Knicks, Penix, McCarthy, all of them. So I just went for every draft from year 2000 and now.
Okay.
So it's 24 drafts. Of those 24 drafts, the first quarterback taken, not number one overall necessarily, just first quarterback taken, 11 of the 24 worked out objectively for the team that drafted them. Second quarterback, it's 8 of the 24. For the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, it's 4 or less for every single spot.
This century?
Yes.
4 or less, guys.
Like the third quarterback taken in the draft.
Who are those?
Herbert. Herbert and Josh Allen.
Herbert, Josh Allen, and one more awesome
overall.
One. There's one more. Big Ben.
Yeah.
Herbert, Josh Allen, Big Ben were the up. And there's one
Where
more
was
good
Dak?
One.
He was a
Dak, was the,
Dak was the eighth best. Was the eighth quarterback taken.
Oh, so you didn't count? Because other.
No, of course.
Purdy. I mean, to this point, Purdy.
No,
Purdy was the ninth quarterback.
Right.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I overheard Jaylen? Nick trying to come up with this, and I researched it myself.
Okay,
he's like,
I was
going
to say, there's other.
No,
where was Jalen Hurts?
So Jalen Hurts was, I think, the fourth quarterback taken.
Lamar?
And
Lamar was the fifth.
Lamar was the fifth.
Brady
right.
was seventh.
So, right, Brew, that's my point. So the third quarterback taken has worked out for 4 of the 24 teams have done it. The fourth quarterback taken has worked out for 2 of the 24 teams. The fifth quarterback taken has worked out for 3 of the 24 teams. Lamar's one of them. The sixth quarterback taken has worked out for 2 of the 24 teams. Now, historically, those guys aren't top, you know, 3 picks usually, and certainly not first-round picks. I get it. My simple point is the odds are stacked against you, even at taking the second quarterback.
I don't buy that. Because there have been most of the greatest quarterbacks were not drafted that early.
Right, but that dismisses, Brew, the long list of second-rounders.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. But I can name a bunch of number one picks and number two picks recently who didn't pan out. I get the odds and stuff, but
I'm just saying the odds are stacked against him is all I'm saying.
I disagree. I think they're stacked for him.
Okay.
He's got a little Gronkowski thing going on. Him and
his brothers?
Yeah. They're like, oh.
Gronk would have been a bad quarterback.
Gronk?
Yeah, bad
no, quarterback.
This is
great.
A quarterback. Not a tight end.
But he had got it.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more. Right now, you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back to a hot show. Coach Mangini is here. Chicago nailed their draft. Caleb at 1, Roma Dunze at 9. Firepower all of a sudden in Chi-Town. Caleb going full Thanos mode. You like that, Dust? To be the greatest or to be able to sit at the table. That's his goals. My last goal, immortality.
That's kind of a new thing, right? People trying to live forever.
Yeah.
A lot of rich people.
Immortality, coach.
Yeah.
Not just winning a few games, playing some clean football. Immortality. The only way to reach that is winning championships, plural, coach. Not a typo.
It's the draft.
He's talking about immortality.
That's what you the these days.
It's not to you.
Okay.
Coach, your reaction?
Oh.
Say less. Say less. Why? Why are you doing this? Why? Why?
This is the best day of his life. Okay,
and it might be the worst day of his life when everybody goes back to him and says, hey, remember when you were reaching for immortality? Why don't we reach for a winning season?
Okay? That's not.
There hasn't been one of those in Chicago in 6 years. Why don't we reach for that? Why don't we reach for being a leader in the locker room? Why don't we reach for having a level of success? Do you know what the quarterback success rate is for first-round quarterbacks? Since 2011, right, when they finally went to the new CBA, so there's been 41 quarterbacks drafted. One's won the Super Bowl in the first round.
My God.
41 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. One's won the Super Bowl.
That's
been Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Three others have gone to the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, in fairness, since 2011, four guys have won Super Bowls. Brady and Mahomes win them all.
Why don't we work on let's get to the Super Bowl?
Okay. No, you wouldn't have liked that either.
No,
you wouldn't have liked that either.
I'm just saying, maybe we
Coach
can start
with it day to day.
Maybe
I'm just looking
start
for tomorrow.
That is not
exactly
right.
I want to throw football tomorrow better than I do today.
Exactly right.
Drew, no, so these extreme or the options are, hey, throw the football better tomorrow or immortality.
Guys,
there's nothing in between.
No, what I am saying is this is unfair because the kid that the Lions traded up for, was it Terrion Arnold? Terrion Arnold. He takes the microphone. He says, Detroit, you got a star. Everybody, I shouldn't say everybody. A lot of guys, when they're drafted, that day talk about winning championships. Yeah. That is what they talk about.
Lamar
yeah,
said
it doesn't make it right or good.
Okay.
Just because one makes a bad decision, it's like
it's
talking
not
to
a
kids.
Bad decision.
Just because your friends are making bad decisions.
It's not a bad decision. And what I'm telling you is, when Patrick Mahomes was drafted, is the first thing he said, I just want to be better tomorrow. And no, it wasn't.
What did he say?
I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't. I'm chasing number 12, baby.
Okay, so what?
I'm going to live forever.
Guys, okay. I think we're being unfair.
Slow down.
And also, I would just take the scrutiny off Caleb. You can put it on me if you want.
He put the scrutiny on himself.
He's the number
That's
one
the
pick.
Point.
It seems like a lot. You won't say it seems like a lot.
Okay, what did LeBron? Hold on. Let me ask a question.
Seems like a lot.
Okay. What was, Brew, you were there. What was LeBron saying when he was drafted?
He said, when they come to, as I was there, I was a few feet away. When they come to Cleveland next year, it's going to be lit up like Vegas. I was going to use LeBron's example.
Yeah, go ahead.
The chosen one.
Exactly.
Tattoos,
but he was.
Commercials
he was
with
amazing.
Dr. J. Well, that's what, look.
Right. We don't. Caleb's pretty
Wait,
damn good.
Caleb's LeBron
in
the NFL?
I don't know, but I'm saying as a prospect, he's a consensus number one.
He was saying because Cleveland got him, they were going to be excited and light it up. And Cleveland, they would.
It was lit up.
Yeah, it was lit up.
I'm not going to kill him. And which might surprise you because I kill the Cowboys when they talk Super Bowl. That's the owner, and he's been doing it for nearly 30 years and no success. All right. So, look, when Trevor Lawrence, coach, went the opposite way, football, I could take it or leave it.
You know, true.
People kill him, right? So, but here's what I'll say.
Bad decision. Bad decision.
Here's what I'll say, though.
How about a good decision?
It's on Caleb. And I don't mean just because he's making these grandiose statements. They got a good squad. Like, yes. They got Rome Odunze yesterday. They already had a couple good receivers with Keenan Allen now.
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift. Like,
and the defense was good after
defense
they
got
sweat.
Better. Yeah. I still got Cole questions Met. About the defense, yeah. but it got better.
They're going to be awesome.
It's a tough division. That's the challenge. But my point is this. When you look at their roster and what they did last year at the end of the year, it's just like, if Caleb Williams is pretty good, they're going to be in the playoffs or close.
Yeah, course. They got a chance
so
to live
they
forever.
So,
okay, so, all right,
they so really if they don't. Are, it's on him. Yeah. So he's got to deliver.
I agree with that. So there's two things. One is, I just wish that we could be fair enough to say, after the greatest moment of your life, once you are in the building, once you're at OTAs, then let's ratchet down the grandiose big picture stuff. But if in that moment, if the moment someone opens their letter of acceptance to Harvard Medical School, they say, I want to be the greatest surgeon who ever lived, I am not going to be like, oh, why don't you focus on your midterms first, kiddo? Like, no, it's an exciting, great moment. Now,
well,
you
when,
can then...
When they start covering it on TV, people okay, opening up this stuff to Harvard for how many millions of people, then maybe we could talk about that.
But they're going to cover the other stuff, too, and we'll see how he talks. Now, but I will set what my expectations are. I think the Bears are going to win 10-plus games next year, and I would be shocked if by the end of his third year, he is not considered the best quarterback in his conference, and I would bet money that before the end of his rookie contract, they play in a Super Bowl. That's my expectations for the Bears.
Well, I'm sure you could bet money in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't like doing 5-year-long futures bets, let them hold my money big free. Like, no, I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Interest free. The
old big free.
Caesar Sportsbook. I'm not
doing it. All right, let's head down to Dallas, where the Cowboys drafted tackle Tyler Guyton at 29 out of Oklahoma. Micah Parsons was on a live stream with Bleacher Report, because of course he was, and here was his reaction, bro.
Offensive tackle from Oklahoma, Tyler Guyton, is the pick for the Dallas Cowboys. Not one of the players listed by our own Micah Parsons.
I'm not mad at the pick. I think Guyton was like my fourth guy. I like the pick. It's not a bad pick. We picked up depth. We needed O-line help, and we went and got him in the first round.
Okay. Brew, your reaction to defensive leader Micah Parsons?
I mean, he clearly didn't show any excitement. Now, he had given his three guys. He was hoping to get one of them.
Yeah.
And he said Guyton was fourth, so that was a convenient thing to say. But look, I'll say this. I like the pick, and I'm not going to question the Cowboys with their offensive linemen. There's a lot to not like about the Cowboys and the way they do business. They know how to pick offensive linemen.
That's true.
Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Tyler Smith. Like, so this guy's got – he's humongous. He's 6'8", 320. Yep. He's athletic. You know, he's a little bit raw, but they obviously know how to train offensive linemen too. So I think it's a good pick. Micah, I don't know what his draft process was, like how much he actually studied.
Sure,
there you go. He probably didn't. I mean, I'm guessing he didn't go in depth about these guys. I think it's a good pick. I'm going to give him a grade. Okay. I'm going to give him a B. Oh, and I think that might even be a little low. I'm going to give him a B. I think this kid's probably going to be good.
Yeah, I think nothing helps team chemistry like insulting the owner's pick and the first round draft pick on TV. I mean, that's always a good process. He should follow up on his podcast. I thought this was a great decision by Dallas. I said yesterday that they should trade back, especially if you have a group of players that you like, and they had those three glaring needs with center, left tackle, and running back. Now they pick up a third-round draft pick, and it's a high third-rounder that Detroit had gotten from Minnesota. So you could, with two threes, you could potentially trade up again in the second round and fill both those needs. So I really like the process that they went through.
So to be fair, on my feeling on this specific pick, Brew's right. They've earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to drafting, particularly offensive linemen. Now, as the owner of America's second most accurate mock draft, I should mention that there were four players that went in the first round that I didn't think were going to. He was one of them. So that, and the guy that I thought the Cowboys should draft, the guy who played tackle, which is going to be a center in the NFL, Graham Barton from Duke, went two picks after where they were originally going to be drafting. So that part was a little curious to me. But you're right, Brew, that they know how to scout offensive linemen.
But you're also right in that a lot of the problems with the Cowboys have to do with Jerry Jones' need for attention. Because I'm going to show you something, Coach, because you're also right. They need a running back. And the best running back on everyone's board, it seems, is Jonathan Brooks. He's one of the only – he's one of two guys expected to be a second-round caliber player, he and Corum from Michigan. Jerry, last night on television in front of the media, said this.
He's just outstanding. And he's a great football player. We got him high, high, high. And he's a good player.
Show him the board.
Well, I got it in here.
So I wouldn't have done that. So they're drafting at 56. For instance, Tampa, which has been trying to find a reliable running game since Brady got there, is drafting at 57. If I now am Tampa or one of the teams drafting ahead of them that's like, oh, maybe this guy will be around later, like Philly, your rival, which has two picks right before you. And I know Philly addressed the running back situation. But still, like, why are you telling the world when you're – it'd be one thing if you're picking at 33. Right. If you're picking and you're like, you know, we know what we're doing there. It's fine.
Sure.
They have to get through 22 other teams – or 23 other teams' picks – before they get the opportunity to take their guy. I think that's a mistake. I think telling the world how much you love a player who you are yet to draft and you need two dozen teams to pass on is probably a mistake.
Coach,
you nailed it, Nick.
Okay,
you nailed it.
Reason number 4,080, your owner doesn't need to be talking about.
Broncos next.
What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angie, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angie isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer. With over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros, Angie has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angie's got your back. And their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angie makes the process seamless. From researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience, Angie's user-friendly platform puts you in control. So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angie, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angie to get all their jobs done well.
Sean Payton said goodbye to Russell Wilson, hello to Zach Wilson, and has now drafted Bo Nix from Oregon. Here's Payton on the pick.
Early into the process, shortly after these workouts, like this, he stood out in a lot of areas, you know, and you pay close attention to all the film study, and you know, obviously he's played a lot of football, but you know, sack differential, turnover differential. Accuracy, third down passing, first in this class.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, listen, I mean, everyone could, I shouldn't say everyone. We saw this coming. The Broncos had to come out of this draft with a quarterback. Unfortunately for them, maybe because he played 6 years of college football, they wanted the sixth quarterback off the board. I don't know. But it is a damn near magic trick to, a week ago, Brew, have a quarterback room where the best quarterback was Jared Stidham. And in that next week, spend multiple draft picks, including the 12th overall, on two other quarterbacks to bring them into that room. And now they sit here and the best quarterback in the room is Jared Stidham. I didn't think it could be done, but they managed to find a way. But Sean Payton, now, Brew, to your point, still in the Shador sweepstakes. Well, so that's good for them. Like, I mean, in that regard. But, I mean, good luck, Denver. I mean, this feels like in the long line of Locke, Lynch, Osweiler, Tebow, these guys, they've overdrafted in the first or second round trying to figure out the quarterback situation post-Elway, not Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got to get a quarterback. And if they don't want to go with my plan, tank and get Shadur next year. It might work out that way anyway.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. But, you know, you hear the comparisons to Drew Brees. Okay. Okay. Let's see if, you know, he's the guy to help make Drew Brees. So let's see if he can do something with him. But it's underwhelming.
Yeah, this felt like the ultimate shopping hungry where they had to get a quarterback. And this is who was left. And I was watching the reaction of the draft room. I don't know, can we bring that up? And as you watch it, I mean, just see the, like, half-hearted hug. This felt like Christmas when I used to get clothes instead of, like, an Xbox. And you're like, oh, okay. And typically, when you're excited about the player that you got, you get down there and, like, I can't believe he was still on the board. We got so lucky. This is the guy we've targeted all along. And there were very compelling statistics that he brought up. And then Bo Nix has a lot of really impressive statistics. But you just didn't feel the energy from the room or from Sean to say, like, we solved our problem.
Yeah.
We moved on from Russell. We feel great about this decision. Yeah. We added Zach as an insurance policy, and away we go.
All right, I'm going to need a fact check on the age coach was when Xbox came out, because I'm not certain if that was ever, like, on your actual Christmas
It was
list.
Atari.
But,
coach.
But you know what? In the spirit of this discussion, from it's Calico. Good right. to tell right. untruths. Because there is this, courtesy of Adam Schefter, quote from Sean Payton. And I'm not saying he's not telling the truth. I'm just going to read it to you. Sean Payton wanted and intended to draft Patrick Mahomes 2017. He had 11th pick. He was ready to turn in the card before he could. Chiefs traded up to the Bills spot at number 10. Took him, leaving the Saints draft Marshawn Lattimore. Payton feels as strongly about Bo Nix as he did Patrick Mahomes. And that's the old, you know, is it worse to be telling the truth there or lying? Because if you're lying, you're lying. If you're telling the truth, it's like, really? That's your evaluation? But either way, Wilds, you know what it means.
Board time.
Friend of the show, Sean Payton, you're on the board, my friend. And if you thank you, Dust. And if you don't think this is that Patrick Mahomes is going to have a nice little hand signal or something for you when you guys play the Broncos, because you're saying Bo Nix is Patrick Mahomes.
We've also rounded out the AFC West.
We got the AFC West. You're right there. Yeah. We got Burrow there. We got this fool of a mayor saying the Chiefs are going to move.
What is Vegas?
The Niners are the favorites. Stays up there until the Chiefs become the favorites.
Coming up next. Oh, the Lakers game. Did you see that? By any chance? It was on.
I was watching the draft.
I'll fill you guys in.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Okay, here we go again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and now 11 straight wins.
Wow.
Not even that many crack commandments. The bit doesn't even work. Denver went into L.A. and dispatched of the Lakers, who by the second half were phoning it in. Literally, D'Angelo Russell just checking his phone.
That was terrible.
Three games to zero. There's still a chance, I guess. Here's LeBron.
No, here's no chance.
One game at a time at this point. You know, and you lose, you go home. So you come up with the mindset, let's get one, force a game five, and then we go from there. So as long as you still have life, then you always have belief. I just think you play till the wheels fall off.
Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
What's that?
Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
Wheels about to fall off. Is that what?
Tin man mode.
Oh, no heart?
No heart.
From who?
Need some oil. Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
Told you, Tin Man mode. I said Tin Man mode when this series started. I said, ooh, Lakers going full Tin Man. And you guys, how dare you say that? How dare you besmirch the mighty franchise of the LA Lakers? I said, guys, LeBron James is a basketball genius. He knows that he can't beat this team. And all the trash talk has all settled down, and they're not playing with any heart. They play with a little bit of heart for a little while. This game, was there any heart?
No. Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. Need some oil.
Tin man mode. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to be happy.
That
I'm just saying.
When I called that show one. America, I just I called threw that a one. Smiley face on this sheet of paper.
Sorry.
Because Wilds, for years,
sorry,
has scolded me. He's like, Nick, when you're right about something and your team wins, you're supposed to be smug, arrogant, happy.
Happy, yeah.
Not
sorry.
Angry, scowling.
Yeah,
I'm like, you
do
don't
that.
Get it. Because you're not right about stuff that often. But now that you are, and now you're finally feeling it, there is a weird sense of I bleeping told you. And, bro, you were obviously right about this series. I was obviously wrong. I had Lakers in six. Now the best they can do is in seven. I missed it.
Oh, now hold for that.
Here is what is so devastating to anyone who thought the Lakers had a real chance, which I did. And, obviously I was wrong. So many of the things that needed to happen happened. The Nuggets shot 41% from three in the series against them last year.
Yep.
This year, they are the worst three-point shooting team in the playoffs. And they're up 3-0. LeBron has played, I would say, B-plus for the series. Not like LeBron's been terrible. He hasn't been exceptional. Anthony Davis
A-plus.
Has played, except I wouldn't say an A-plus, because, but for the, I would say an A.
Yeah.
Joker has been typical Joker. You know what I mean? Which is
fine.
The MVP of the league, but it's not like Joker, has
he doesn't
had,
have to do it all by
right.
himself.
Right. Jamal Murray hasn't been awesome. The Lakers have led at halftime of all three games, and it's the same script every time.
Yeah.
It's the third quarter. I don't know what happens. I haven't played in the NBA. I'm not sure if, like, at halftime there's adjustment or things. That's when coaching really comes into play. I'm not sure. But I know the Nuggets come out in the third quarter and tend to win. And so, yeah.
It's almost like they're taunting the Lakers by letting them lead at halftime.
I totally agree.
You know, like, it's almost like we are so not concerned about you guys beating us that we just want to hang around. And they're not even hanging around. They were down 21 game. Yep. I'm going to say this, though, and this is for all the people out there, the youngsters that didn't get to watch Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You know, you see them on YouTube, maybe if you check highlights. Jokic is like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson in that I thought he dominated the game last night.
Sure.
And he can dominate and control a game without shooting or scoring. Yeah. Like, he touches it on every possession, but guess what? He doesn't over-dribble. He gets rid of it quickly. He's moving the ball. Like, but that's what he is like. And that's the class he is moving up to. And people look at Magic Johnson's stats and even Larry Bird's, he never led the league in scoring, and say, were these guys really that good? This is what they were.
It's a good take.
This is
it's
what they were. Magic had games to score 11, 12 points and dominate the game. Yeah. And that's what Nikola Jokic is, and that's why they're so effective.
Wilds, what's been your slogan all year?
Well, no one's beating Denver in a 7-game series.
All right. Because I was so adamant you were wrong.
Yeah.
And because it is, you know, I joke when I say you're not right ever, but this is the most
right
you've been.
I'm rarely right.
About stuff. This is your first undoubted true classic one. Wow. Instantly correct. And I think we should commemorate it.
Thank you.
Can we? No, we got it. We're going to drop a banner for you.
Oh, this is going to be
with your tweet emblazoned and Dust. Can we drop the banner? There it is. Guys, that is not the image. Guys,
Brew,
I said put up Wild's prediction. Guys, I said put up Wild's pick.
Misinformation.
Affecting
the sports world.
I told you guys.
Brew's loving it.
I told you to put up his pick.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live from New York, show that has a huge half hour of draft news coming at you right now. Second hour of First Things First today. Is the dynasty back on track? Well, we drafted yet another quarterback and another walk, and this one looks kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that one.
He looks the part. He does look the part.
Like
a lot more than Mac Jones.
Well, Mac Jones did make the Pro Bowl. Meanwhile, the Bills give Kansas City yet another weapon. Watch out with the tackling.
My goodness.
Hey, you can't tackle someone if you can't catch them.
That's a good point. Yeah. But right now, Falcons were supposed to be in win-now mode, and they are, but they're also in win-later mode. That makes sense. Michael Penix Jr. goes eighth to Atlanta. Here's Falcons front office.
Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. And Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future.
Raheem, whichever one of you called Kirk, when you were on the clock and you tell me about it, what's his reaction?
Well, that's a private. We wouldn't share that, you know, and obviously we...
Reactions are pretty private, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got called on the clock, obviously, because it's a sensitive time with the issues of what you got going on. It's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things, and reactions are always going to be private when it comes to those things.
Yeah, I'm guessing it wasn't good. His agent said it was. He was dismayed.
He didn't keep it private.
Dismayed. Your reaction?
Listen, I just don't... I think the Falcons are in the group of teams that is more concerned about avoiding being awful than trying to be great. And I think that they... the team was maybe so scarred by the post-Matt Ryan period where you had no quarterback that they... In my opinion, Coach, they had two... legitimate paths here when they knew what their free agent situation was, their cap situation, their position in the draft, and the quarterbacks who were coming out. One was what they did, sign Kirk Cousins and then use that eighth pick to supplement a defense that needs it or to trade back and get extra stuff, but things that can help you right now. The other is to use the money they spent on Kirk to add free agents, draft a quarterback, and try to take the young quarterback path with a bunch of weapons, like what the Niners have done, what we've seen the Eagles do, what we've seen a lot of the Chiefs do before they paid Mahomes, all that stuff. Instead, they hedged against Kirk's Achilles and age and all of that and have this in their back pocket, but it lowers their ceiling. Now, instead of adding an impact player, they add a guy they hope not to play. And when they do play him, they don't get the benefit of the young, cheap quarterback because for the first 2 years, you're paying Kirk Cousins whether he's on the team or not. So that was my takeaway from it.
I obviously like Michael Penix, and I think he'll do well, but I don't understand this. We talked about the reaction of Kirk Cousins. It couldn't have been good. And, look, Aaron Rodgers was sensitive when they had the draft, so I'm sure Kirk was just as sensitive, and that was a later-round draft pick. What was the reaction of the owner? What was the did they tell him ahead of time, this is the plan with the eighth pick? Doesn't look like they told him. He's 81 years old. He's not waiting for 3 or 4 years down the road. He wants to win right now, and you've got a chance to add another weapon to the offense, which is pretty good. You got Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. You add another top-flight wide receiver to that. The offensive line is pretty good. The defense isn't horrible. They haven't won. They haven't had a winning record in 6 years. It's like Chicago. So to say they're going to supplement it because they're going to win so much. Why don't you go win some games and then talk about supplementing it? And why not trade back? You can ensure things in the future by getting future first-round draft picks, similar to what Chicago did with Carolina. Trade back if that's a decision.
And it should be said, you had Penix third on your quarterback. You like Penix a lot.
I liked him a lot. And I don't think this is an item that's going to save their jobs. I know you guys have talked about that a little bit. If anything, if I'm the owner, I'm angry. I'm angry that this is the decision that's made. And I'm a big believer in having a backup quarterback that's viable. But at the eighth pick in the draft with where this team is, why? Why would you do that?
I agree with everything you guys have said. Like, it almost looks like, and it's hard to believe this was the case. I don't believe this was the case. But the way they moved made it seem like they were stunned that Penix was there. But first of all, why are you calling Kirk Cousins on the clock? You could have called him yesterday or 2 days ago if you knew we really like Penix. He's going to be there. And you could have told Kirk, if Penix is there, we think he will be.
You
can't go through a bunch of mock drafts organizationally and think, oh, Penix is definitely not going to be there at 8.
Correct.
Right.
Like,
right.
There's a lot of scenarios where he's there at 8.
You think they would have leaked it?
If Kirk Cousins' agent was smart, he would definitely leak it. There'd be an avalanche of criticisms like, ooh, we're getting roasted here.
Well, that might have made him. Go get him.
But that's my second point. Had they...
I don't think the owner would have leaked it.
If you know you want Penix, and you know he's going to be there at 8, like you said, Coach, why not move down? They didn't do that. They didn't move down. They didn't tell Cousins early. And there were leaks that they liked Penix and might take him. So I mean,
Jonathan Jones had it, and everybody – Jonathan Jones had that in his mock draft. Credit to him. Because
he had it in the mock, too.
He had it in his mock that the Falcons were going to take Penix at 8. So there
Who does he have a relationship with?
Right.
Because he didn't miraculously go, this is a good decision. And someone had to tell him.
So, but here's the other part, Brew, to me that is so frustrating from a process standpoint and why I'm so convinced that 6 weeks ago they didn't think they were going to do this. And Michael Penix has played zero games since then. All the info, or a lot of it, is obviously in by the end of the college football season. Kirk Cousins got $100 million guaranteed in his deal. There are different ways to do those guarantees. And if they would have thought, there is a chance we're going to draft a quarterback with the 8th pick and then have this be the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes thing, where we get draft capital back in a year when we trade the quarterback.
Yeah.
Then they structure Kirk's deal so all the money's still guaranteed, but it's in a way where when we trade him, we don't take the $38 million cap hit. Right, and so they didn't do that, which tells me when they signed Kirk, they did not think they were going to do this, which means it's not a good process.
The other thing, Coach, Penix is going to be 24 in a couple weeks.
Well, that's the
other thing. You think he's trying to sit for 3 years? No. Or even two?
Look, I'm fine with the age thing. Obviously, you'd want a younger guy there, and I'm fine with him sitting. I just the way that they've gone about the amount of resources that they've spent, it just doesn't make sense for where they are organizationally.
Just quickly, Coach, Kirk Cousins, Achilles. We don't know. I mean, we think he's going to be okay. I saw him throwing the ball on a tennis court, so I guess that counts. Any chance that Penix can challenge it, or is because he's already owed so much money, no, we're not even going to allow this to be a competition?
Well, I think if you're worried about Kirk Cousins' Achilles, then you should fire every doctor that allowed you to sign him to a $100 million contract. Because if he didn't pass that physical with a clean bill of health and you gave him $100 million, then that medical staff needs to be wiped out.
His question is, could Penix win the job in training?
Just straight up, assuming Kirk is...
Oh, my
with
God.
With the money, no, right? Unless
Kirk would, can't it would
play.
Be shocking that they would sit on that much cash. And look, Kirk Cousins...
Isn't it worse if, the team sees, ooh, but Penix can throw?
But Kirk's... He's a good quarterback who's been successful and done a lot of good things. It's going to be hard for Penix as a rookie.
It's not a QB battle.
Okay, when he throws four interceptions, Josh is going to come in here. Josh is our resident Falcons fan, wearing Penix gear. Josh, when did you buy a Penix
He already went
jersey?
Out and got a jersey
did
yesterday.
Did you get a Penix jersey already, Josh?
Yesterday night.
All right, now to the team of the century, Drake May. Trading his North Carolina blue for Patriots blue.
It's actually still North Carolina blue.
Well, I'm saying he's trading.
Oh, okay.
For it's more of a navy blue hat kind of. Bill Belichick was on with Pat McAfee. He used to coach the Patriots and make the draft picks. Drake compares himself a lot to Josh Allen. We'll see about that. I think there are some comparisons with size and athleticism, but Josh is a pretty special player. We all agree with that. Coach, do you like the pick? Do you like the comparison?
Yeah, I would love to. Heard what Bill said when he wasn't mic'd up, if they said, we'll see about that, because I'm sure it was a little bit more colorful and probably a little bit more skeptical. Do I like the pick? Here's what I think about Drake May, and I know you were excited when they got Mac Jones, right? And I'm sure the Patriots fans were excited.
Setting, yeah, completion.
And they got him, at 13, 15?
15.
They got him at 3. So let's take a look at another quarterback that was taken at 3 and just see how they... Okay, so here's Sam. Here's Sam Darnold, taken third overall.
Oh, wow.
Same height, weight. This is their final college season. Look at the completion percentage. Wow. Look at the yards. Look at the TD to interceptions. Look at the sacks.
It's like Mac Jones graphic.
And now let's look at Mac Jones? Mac Jones is look at his completion percentage.
Yeah, I've been
41-4 TD to interception rate.
I know it.
Sacked 13 times.
Yeah.
And he's been shipped out.
Well, it was decision making.
I think, you should be excited about it.
Yeah, it's about consistency. Oh, and guess who's might be coming to New England? Maybe a wide receiver we're drafting at 34. Maybe, dun, dun, dun,
Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk.
Or Debo.
Or T. Higgins is available, and we are sitting on $56 million for what?
Does T. Higgins' girlfriend want to live in New England?
We will offset the taxes. I got to look. Hey, Josh, can you run the numbers on Ohio taxes?
Drake May wants to live in New England.
Everybody wants to live in New England.
He's never lived outside of North Carolina.
Oh, come on.
He has never lived outside of North Carolina.
Can I ask a serious question? Because I think Brew and I might be on the same page here. I'm not sure. I think that Drake, unlike Penix or Nix or Jaden, is very young, which is something in his favor as far as, again, when we talk about quarterback's age, it's not about, oh, this means he can play for you for 17 years instead of 14. It's about, have they reached their full potential yet? How much room for growth? Yep. That's why I like younger quarterbacks. I think sitting him is the absolute right decision. I think Jacoby is a more than competent, you know, bridge starter. You need to build up that offensive line. You don't want him to get David Carr'd, where you know you get sacked 70 times and he's scarred.
Well, he got sacked 40 times the year before. I did 29 last year. 40.
I get it. Coach, but I don't know where you stand. If I were a Pats fan, I'd want them to sit him and you know maybe have another top five pick to buttress the team next
year. Yeah, you may be drafting number one next year. Yeah.
Gosh darn it, no.
No, look, I agree with Nick. What I like about it, Coach, and I'm not as high on Drake May as a lot of scouts were. I think all of us kind of feel the same way about Drake May.
Well, Wilds loves him now.
Up
he
in
threw
the
a
Wilds,
ball left-handed. Yeah.
But I think his ceiling is higher than Mac Jones. Like, he's athletic.
Doubt.
His arm is strong. Like, so think, potentially, and you're sitting for a year, I would hate the pick if they were, like, going to start him from day one. But if you're going to sit him behind Brissett for maybe the whole year or at least most of it, let him learn, get some – if they draft some weapons today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the potential could be high.
Yeah, and the one thing we know about Patriots fans is they're patient, right? And they're not used to good quarterback play. But I will say this. He has a better chance of beating Jacoby Brissett out than Penix has a chance of beating –
I agree with that. I don't even want him to beat Brissett out if I'm the Patriots. Yeah.
No,
but we'll look at the schedule.
He may, though.
You know what I'm just trying to do? Get better today. Did we get better?
Yeah.
Well, one day at a time.
Well, I know that you did.
Well.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Welcome back to an electric, draft-filled show. We're going to go out to Kansas City. Chiefs trade up and grab a speedy weapon for Mahomes. Xavier Worthy out of Texas, who ran a blistering 4.21 at the Combine. Cat Williams speed, I call that. Woof! Here's Bills GM Brandon Bean on trading with his rival Chiefs.
Rival.
Was there any hesitancy in doing a deal with Kansas City? I mean, they're defending Super Bowl champions, your rivals, really, the team that you're trying to get past. Was there any hesitancy in conceivably maybe helping them in some way?
No, because they can move around. If we don't trade with them, someone else can, to get whatever player they're targeting. To me, it's got to make sense for us.
That was fair. I hadn't listened to that, and you were like, they called him the rival.
I wouldn't call him the rival.
I don't know if France was interested in doing a lot of deals with Jefferson post Louisiana purchase. I don't know about that. Like when you get thanks, Wild. When you get
he clowns my Xbox, when you Xbox get, reference.
Well, yours
good.
Was a lot. He's got the Mine's historically purchase. Accurate. Uh-huh. When the last time you did a draft day trade with Kansas City and ended up with the Chiefs getting, and we can show it to you, the greatest player who ever lived, or sorry, coach, potentially,
second.
And you have nobody.
Yeah. I would maybe be like, eh. And if since then you've played three times in the playoffs and all three times you've lost. But the flip side to that is maybe you think this is – there's if you think you're getting the better end of the deal, then there's no team better to do a deal with than a team that you're chasing. Because it's like, oh, we're damaging them, right? If you think you're winning the trade, so that's the argument for it. Here's the thing, Coach. I don't like tiny football players as a rule. He is the tiniest football player, but I also trust the Chiefs. You smartly had the Chiefs taking him and then didn't do it because you thought I had some inside information, I don't. I just, you know, I'm just good at predicting drafts.
You better reevaluate your relationship.
No, I don't listen. I have personal relationships. This is unrelated. So you thought this was the fit for the Chiefs, so you like it.
Yeah, look, I like the fit because of his speed and that element he gives back to the offense. And I thought that Kansas City needed a receiver because Hollywood Brown, you know, he's been up and down in terms of his catch percentage. And then we talked about the other problems. I did think it was ironic that Nick is okay with a 160-pound player, but not a 210-pound player from the other day. And he's going to assume that this guy's going to be able to put on a bunch of weight.
No, I'm not assuming that.
Daniels can. And from Buffalo's perspective, it's fine to trade with Kansas City. And it makes a lot of sense. If you want to move back, the biggest thing is trying to find a partner. And unfortunately, sometimes the partner is someone that you've got to compete against. But his point is valid. If it's not us, it could be somebody else. So now they go add some value to the draft picks they have left. And if they've got a block of players that they like, then and they're not going to miss out on at least one of those players, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, the trade alone with the Chiefs didn't seem to make sense. But then when you saw what they did with Carolina, you know, like they added picks. And they got to add a bunch of players, you know. So they went ahead and got some extra picks or an extra pick. And so, you know, I think it was a good move for them. They still can make the playoffs, could win that division. Now, they're not – I said it when they traded Diggs. They're not a Super Bowl contender, but they still could be a
You're
playoff.
You're willing to write them off.
For the Super Bowl, absolutely.
Well, Bruce, correct. I mean, they're yet to be a Super Bowl contender, so I don't know why all of a sudden when they're getting worse they would be. But I would give them credit for this. Now, there's some speculation that the reason they moved from 28 to 32 and then more importantly to 33 was because they are actually trying to use that to trade for Ayuk and that they needed more time.
Oh, well,
you know what I mean? That they needed
that
more time. That to me would be a mistake. Because,
really?
Yes, I think this is actually smart by Buffalo. I think Buffalo needs to take a moment of a bit of a step back, get a bunch of young players in the building. You know what I mean? Be able to get cheap contracts. Josh, still, the big part of his contract hasn't kicked in yet, and they're already in cap trouble. So, like, I think for Buffalo saying we're going to get – because they didn't actually add picks. They just swapped picks and moved up. They moved up. And so I think it's smart, and I think it's recognizing, all right, we took our shot. We want to take another shot soon. So rather than take a weak, you know what I mean, continually weak shots, take a bit of a step back. Maybe Josh Allen is a Superman season and carries us, but we're going to reset some contracts.
If they don't get IU, Coach, it looks like they might run the wishbone this
year.
The wing T or something like that.
It's like Dallas. They've got to pay the bills,
and
they always come due, and the best way to do that now is to take a step back and try to accumulate picks. I could see him trading out of this first pick in the second round because that's always a very valuable pick. When teams have had a chance to go back, reset their board, now everybody's like, we got to get this guy.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so you could trade back again, and there's a bunch of great players in the draft that are in later rounds.
The fact that they traded back with the Chiefs, knowing the Chiefs wanted a receiver, and then knowing there were receiver-needy teams right behind, three receivers have been taken since they traded, makes me think they're not necessarily going receiver here. And if Sean McDermott has full control there and they're trying to have the style of team they had at the second half of last year, that Johnny Newton, the D-tackle from Illinois, that a lot of smart people had going top 20, I was one of them, is available.
Well, they'll probably there's usually a run on corners in the top of the second round because someone's got to cover the 8 million receivers that were drafted in the first round.
I wouldn't be shocked if they go defense.
And usually once one goes, they all go. And if you want a corner, you better get them early.
Josh can run that.
Podcast, crushing it. YouTube channel, exclusive content. It's been great.
We got to get up to 1 million followers. So if you're following, make a burner account, follow again. Medals time. Back to Philly. Dante DiVincenzo. That was big dunk. 5 points. So what do you want me to do, Dante? Not enough.
Bronze medal. Aaron Gordon. 29 points, 15 rebounds. Brew was saying, if you want to know what it was like to watch Magic and Bird, watch Jokic. Evidently, if you want to know what it was like to watch Wilt, just watch Aaron Gordon against these guys. I mean, give me, come on, man. Silver medal. Paolo, in a game watched by dozens and dozens of people, the Magic blow out the Cavs, get back in the series. That series yet to begin.
Oh.
The Lakers series, unfortunately, did start last night. Might have also ended. And then a goal. The most points ever in a playoff game on fewer than 20 field goal attempts. Joel Embiid, a 50-piece as the Sixers series yet to begin as well. See if it gets started Sunday in Philly. I'll be there.
Anybody oh, you are?
Say hello. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Nice little gambling binge and then basketball game.
Along with the 50 points for Embiid, he played quite the aggressive game, Brew. Got a flagrant one for grabbing Mitchell Robinson. Dante DiVincenzo said it was dirty. Josh Hart said it was reckless. He also had a few other, I'm going to say, uncharacteristic Embiid plays. What was your take?
I mean, look, I'm glad he could have been ejected. You can argue he should have been. I'm glad he wasn't because the refs, and admittedly, did cost Philly game two.
Yeah.
And so they wouldn't have won this game without Embiid.
No.
The series obviously over. So I think now we're even. I'm not saying he was thinking about this or the rest were thinking about it when he did it, but I'm fine with it. And
listen, I like Embiid a ton. I think he's a great player. I think he's actually a really good dude. This is – I'm really glad Mitchell's okay. Because mm-hmm. that, to me, is as dangerous of a play as you can make. That's
he didn't
like
have to leave the game later on.
I understand, but
I don't
it
know
was –
if they're at all – are they –
because he already had something
I know,
going
like
on there.
There
I just
–
Embiid was frustrated the two plays leading up to it. And then lost his mind for me. He's fortunate he didn't get ejected.
Embiid was 32 for 40 on the shots he took.
That's pretty good.
Including free throws.
Pretty good.